is a demonstration of what happens when you don't listen to God. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's the very last verse in the book of Judges. And we're almost done. We're beginning chapter 20. I'll be out of town next Wednesday, but we'll continue the week after. Probably spend two more weeks in this chapter, maybe one or two in the last, and then we'll be finishing up. And it's not a happy ending. It doesn't come to a conclusion to where there's a victory. It's not like some of the other books in the Bible, you know, the Gospels where Christ raises from the dead or something. In the end of the book of Judges, it just stops and moves on to the days of Samuel and those kind of folks when ultimately Israel needed a king, and they have a king, Jesus, that's going to rule for all eternity. But in the end of Judges, just not happy. So by the time you get to chapter 20, we saw in chapter 19, the Levite had traveled to an area that was controlled by the tribe of Benjamin, and some wicked men had killed his concubine. And he cut her up in pieces and sent her around the country to all the tribes of Israel. And he says there at verse 9, in the last verse in chapter 19, he says, the end of the verse, he says, consider it, consider of it, take advice and speak your minds. What do you think we ought to do about this, is what he is saying. And in chapter 20, the resolution, their resolution, I should say, their solution, their decision about this problem begins to be formulated. And then as the chapter continues, they carry out that decision. And we'll look at that in weeks to come. But here's the interesting thing. Isn't it interesting how when someone offends us or when someone injures us, we want judgment. We want it made right. You said something or you did something that offended me or that injured me, we want it made right. We have a lady that in our school staff that just recently was in a car wreck, and we were all telling her, anytime you're in a car wreck, make sure you get the other driver's license plate number and make sure you get contact information and make sure you get a police report so that you can make sure that your injury is dealt with and your car is fixed and so on. If someone injures us or someone offends us, we want it made right. Someone offended them, they want it made right. What about when we offend God? What about when we injure God? Oh, we're not quite so worried about judgment then. Israel's interest in judgment is, it's not, hypocritical may not be the best word. It's definitely lopsided. That's the way my dad would have said it. It's lopsided. It's all for them. They have been offending God, ignoring God, and disobeying God, and injuring God. And by the way, God loves you, and when you and I disobey Him, it's injurious. Just as when your children disobey you, it's injurious. And His Son died for our sins, that's injurious. And when we offend God or when we injure God, we're not nearly as zealous about judgment as we are when someone offends us. And that's what you see here in this chapter. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of chapter 20. And we'll have a word of prayer and look at man's view of judgment. The Bible says in Judges 20 and verse 1, then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba, that's the whole country, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord, interesting there, in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about me by night, and thought to have slain me, and my concubine have they forced, that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000 and 1,000 of 10,000 to fetch victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that as we open the Word of God, that we know that we have a Holy Spirit that dwells in us that can teach us from the Bible. And I pray that tonight as we look at this response that the Israelites demonstrated towards the tribe of Benjamin in regard to this crime that was committed, Lord, they expected judgment. They wanted it swiftly, and they wanted it to be fair, and they wanted it to eradicate the evil. But they were completely oblivious to the fact that they had injured you and had been ignoring you and had broken your laws, and your judgment was something far from their minds. Lord, the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give an account of the things done in this body. Father, help us to believe that. Help us to understand that when we have offended you, that should concern us as well. And Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that died to pay for our sins so that we would not face the wrath of God in judgment. But we still understand that we're going to give an account for our deeds, and we're going to be judged according to the things we've done in serving you. Help us to be faithful. Thank you for the folks that are faithful to be here tonight to pray. And Lord, our hearts are heavy for some folks that are suffering greatly. And we just pray that you'd keep us in remembrance of them so we can pray for them faithfully. Pray you'd bless these next few moments in the Word of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you can see, especially there in verses 8 through 11, that they want justice. They want this crime to be dealt with in like manner. Somebody was killed. They want somebody killed in return. They say in verse 13, they say they want them put to death. And the people of Israel have this sense of justice that they want this thing dealt with. And why did it even have to come to pass that it got this bad? Because Israel had become disobedient to God, and they were not paying any attention to what God had to say. Folks, it's just a fact that when you and I live our lives, if we decide to walk away from God, we're on a path that leads to disaster. A lost person, certainly we understand that, but saved people as well. If we decide that we're going to ignore God, God did not tell us to do certain things and not do certain things just at a whim. He wants to take care of us. He wants to protect us, and he wants to keep us from the danger that sin involves. And just remind you again that when you step into sin, as you've heard it said, it's going to take you farther than you want to go. It's going to make you pay more than you want to pay. It's going to hurt. So the very fact that they're in the situation is because of their disobedience. But suddenly, the shoes on the other foot, so to speak. As long as they were hurting God, it didn't seem to bother them too much, but now it's come back home. Now they've seen the consequences, and they want this dealt with. They don't particularly want to get right with God, but they sure do want the offender to be punished. And we're going to take just a couple of moments to look at man's view of judgment tonight and why they feel that way. When they're offended, then they want something done, but they don't consider when God is offended. When they're injured, they want something corrected, but not when God is injured. And so now Israel demands judgment for this crime. Man's view of judgment, just a few things I can see here, three or four as we have time. Number one, it seems that they understand it is appropriate to judge sin and to do so swiftly. Now, you go back to the Old Testament, and you'll see demonstrations of the fact that God protected people from sin by taking those sinners off the earth. You saw that in the flood. You saw that when Israel would go and they would destroy some of the heathen nations around them. Why did those nations have to go? Because if those nations were allowed to cohabit with God's people, they were going to influence them. You saw that in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. I wonder today in our churches if on any given Sunday, if God was to strike dead everyone that was lying to the Holy Spirit, how many of us would be left? Definitely would be some folks laying in the aisles. Amen. And but in the book of Acts, God was protecting that early church from the influences of sin, and he took some people out. It is right to judge sin. We understand that. The devil doesn't like judgment. The devil doesn't like to have men appreciate judgment. That's why, for example, the message on Sunday, Brother Stevens talked about the fact that men today have watered down hell. Because hell is a place of judgment, and they say, well, you're just going to die and cease to exist. That's not judgment. But even men understand judgment is appropriate. They gathered together in verse 1, and they all assemble themselves. And isn't it interesting, and we're guilty of this sometimes as well, now that they've got a problem to deal with, all of a sudden, they do pay some more attention to God. It says there in verse 1, that the land of Gilead, they gathered unto the Lord in Mizpah. And in verse 2, the people of God assembled. And you've seen that happen in our nation when something distressful happens where the nation might turn back to God. But they understood that judgment was important, and it is important. God is a righteous God, and he judges sin. And he does not ignore sin. Sin is judged. And I assure you, when the last hour, the last minute of the last day of this world, before we step into the new heaven and the new earth, when everything is settled and the lost are cast into hell and the saints are judged, justice will be perfect. All sin will be dealt with. Any sin in your life and mine, Christ paid for that sin. And any sin that a lost person has committed, they're going to be in hell for all eternity as a consequence of that. There is justice. When someone persecutes a Christian, you say they got away with it. Oh, no, they didn't. Right. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Right. Does he keep his promises? Amen. Amen. And by the way, don't steal that vengeance. Say, Pastor, somebody hurt me. I want judgment. God will take care of it. Amen. You just keep being faithful and calm down a little bit here and let the Lord have some time. We cause a lot of trouble when we try to rush God. We don't ever rush God when it's our sin, but when it's somebody else's sin, sometimes we want it done quickly. So they're unanimous in wanting this. You see that phrase over and over in verse 1, all the children. In verse 8, all the people. In verse 11, they're knit together as one man. And there's a couple of more of those I didn't highlight, but they're all unanimous about this. Let's judge this sin. So then in verses 4 through 7, the Levite describes what has happened. And you can just kind of hear it building up as he tells the story. And he kind of culminates that in verse 7 when he says, and behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. What do you think ought to be done about this? He says, there's been an injury. And now we want this injury dealt with. Men understand that. We have courts of law in our land. We have criminal courts when people break the law. And we have civil courts when people injure somebody. And, you know, we have judges that are there to make a decision. Somebody injured you. You take them to civil court. The court says, well, they've got to pay you damages. You know, they've got to fix your car. Or they've got to pay you some money or whatever. We understand injury ought to be compensated. Again, aren't you glad that our injuries towards the Lord Jesus Christ aren't taken out of our account?
Amen. Praise God.
You talk about, we talk about that, there's a word in the Bible, the word is imputed. It also uses the word counted. The Bible says that our faith is counted for righteousness. And that we had a sin debt. You've heard that? Amen. Why would there be a debt? Because you sinned against the Holy God. Amen. He created you. And when we sin, if God had fines for our sins, how bankrupt would we be? But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ paid for those sins. Amen? If you don't appreciate much about God, appreciate this. He gave His Son to pay your debt so that your account could be cleared. What's that song, Brother Hickson? The old account was settled long ago. Amen?
Amen.
And aren't you glad you can say that? That listen, folks, we injured God and He forgave us. I'm interested in the fact that a couple of things do not happen in this chapter. Now, by the way, I'm not on the side of ignoring this crime either. I think judgment should have been committed. But nobody here is talking about forgiveness. And I don't think it was appropriate here. But aren't you glad that God chose to forgive us even when it wasn't necessarily that appropriate? Because He loved us. And then there's not a whole lot of people here asking God what they should do, are they? Because you see, even though it sounds like they're about to solve a problem, they're still in that mode of every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. I'll warn you about something. we have a lot of opportunities when we deal with people to be offended. And when we get offended, our flesh says, deal with that. And I tell you that the minute that anger wells up, and you heard a good message about this from Pastor Starr, I can just remind you, once the anger comes, that's flesh. That's flesh. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, James said. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, not wrath. It's the works of the flesh is wrath. So when you're dealing with it in anger, when you're I'm going to get even, or I want this taken care of because they hurt me, that's not God, that's flesh. So, and we learn that as we grow older. No, they think the injury needs to be dealt with, that lewdness and folly is unacceptable, they say. We don't like this lewdness and folly, but what about their lewdness and their folly? Then we go to verse 8, after they've described what happened to the concubine in verse 8. Now we hear from the masses. All the people arose as one man. And all of a sudden, they're very determined. We're not going to go home. We're not even going to our tents. They're not going to go to our house, but we're going to deal with this. Everyone's responsibility is to assure justice, they said, and you better be on our side. Now, let me show you what's happening in our nation today. Our nation has a sense of justice which has nothing to do with God. For example, if you stand up and you say that homosexuality is a sin, well, you are violating someone's rights.
Yeah, come
on. And have you seen, and it's almost, I'd say it's fearful, if I really cared what people thought that much, it would be. If you're in the public eye and you don't say the right thing, they're going to get you.
Right.
Freedom of speech in that venue is gone. In other words, if you're a governor or, well, for example, what was it, Georgia, that was going to pass a law? Now, I'm just going back in my life to maybe 20 years ago thinking, what's the big deal here? They're going to pass a law that says men, I'm sorry, let's use the other law. They're going to pass a law that says that Christians, that religions have a right to oppose things that they find objectionable, like homosexuality and this transgender garbage and stuff like that. Well, if they pass that law, then we're not going to have our conventions, we're not going to buy from them, and we're going to punish them in that way. It sounds to me an awful lot like what happens in the Revelation, when if you didn't have the mark, you couldn't conduct business.
Correct.
In other words, they're going to impose their will on you by isolating you. Well, just go ahead and be isolated, amen?
Amen.
You know, if we got to be isolated, I just got news for you. I'm over here with Christ. If you want to stay over there, that's fine. But I'm over here with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that's okay. Isolate me. He and I will be fine, and he'll take care of me. And but they're going to punish you for that, what you say, what you stand for. And isn't it fascinating? Today we live in a world where everybody knows what everybody's saying because of this little device called a smartphone and all the social media. And so they know what you think. And by the way, if you're worried about your privacy, my first question is, what is it you're trying to hide? You know, hop in my computer, see what you can find. Get on my phone, see what you got here. I have nothing to hide, you know. The people that are worried about privacy, I got a feeling there's something that's not right under there somewhere they're trying to keep secret. But anyway, the thought is this. It's everybody's responsibility to make sure things are done right. Only trouble is nobody cares what God thinks. And so they're going to judge this. We're going to judge these folks, and everybody better be involved. And if you're not involved, you're a bad person. And so everybody's responsibility is to assure justice. Number four, the penalty should match the crime. Look what they say in verse 13, that we may put them to death. They killed somebody, we think they ought to be killed. We crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins nailed him to the cross.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God forgave us?
Amen. Thanks, God.
And I'm not saying that crime shouldn't be punished. In fact, I'll just say it simply. In the Bible, the death penalty was in place for a lot of things. And God knew what he was doing. And by the way, life belongs to God, but the Bible says in Romans that the state doesn't bear the sword in vain. The state has the authority to take the life of a criminal, a murderer, or whatever. And things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that were far less serious than murder, capital punishment was a solution for that. I'm glad we live in a day maybe where there's more grace involved, but I do think this, if our nation really was applying justice the way it should, it wouldn't be the mess it's in right now. But these folks understood, when you offend, that eye for an eye, so to speak, tooth for a tooth. But then I have to come back to the thought, don't they see? What have they done to God? If justice is important, why don't you go back to God where you belong? Amen?
Amen.
And they don't get that. So finally, let's just look at verse 14, and we'll be done. I'm out of time anyway. It says, the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Now, this is a little bit baffling to me, but I see it all the time today in our society. But the people in Benjamin said this, oh no, I'll just read some things into this maybe. They may have even conceded that the event took place, but they may have doubted it. But they said, no, you're not going to judge these men. No, we're going to fight for them. What? And they're about to go to town. And by the way, a whole lot of people are going to die. And not just Benjamin, but a lot of Israelites are going to die as well. I'll try and explain that to you when we get there, if God will open some things to my eyes as well, because it's just a terrible time. And at the end of this passage where we stop tonight, the fight is about to start because some people said, we don't want our sin judged. The Israelites saw the damage, and they were the ones that had been, you know, offended, and they said, we want to judge this. The Benjamin crowd that was the offender said, no, we don't want this judged. No, in fact, we're willing to stand up and fight you to keep you from judging that sin. Aren't you glad the Lord's going to come back and straighten things out?
Amen.
This is a really strange illustration, but it just popped into my mind. When I was in high school, we used to go out in the highway and hunt rabbits. And the ranchers loved it because the rabbits were really pests. They were nuisances to the ranchers. And so we'd go out and hunt the rabbits on the highway at night. And we'd shoot these rabbits, and we'd take a couple of them back and feed them to our dogs until I found out what the rabbits had in them, and I quit doing that. But we'd go back to the house, and I can still remember taking that rabbit out of the trunk of my car and tossing him on the ground, and flop, he'd land there and kind of bounce. It's just kind of, wow. That rabbit, not just a few hours ago, he was running around, and now there he is. He's laying there dead. It's kind of a disgusting picture. That's what's happened to Israel. They've gotten away from God. They've lost their life. And there's just nothing, no redeeming value anymore. And that's the way Judges ends. Folks, let's not let our life end that way. Amen?
Amen?
Someone says, I see this all the time. Someone says, I'm going to take control of my life. I'll come to church when I have time. I'll pray every now and then. Maybe if I get in trouble and need God's help. I really don't have time to be a soul winner. I really don't have time to serve God. I'm really busy. And so I'm just going to kind of live my life the way I want to. Their life is going to wind up like that dead rabbit unless God does something. Folks, we need God.
Amen.
And in our sense of justice, it's got some valid basis. But you need to remember, it's a two-way street. God judges us too, amen? And the Bible says this, judge yourselves so that you won't be judged. We need to get things straightened out, amen? Just a thought before I close. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love one for another. You say, Pastor, there's some people that I just can't love. I'm glad Jesus didn't say that.
Amen.
He didn't, did he?
No, he didn't.
Pastor, there's some people, and I just can't love them. They're just not lovable. Well, Jesus loves them.
Amen.
Amen? And here's, and I try and practice this. When I work with people, and they got that thing going that's unlovable, I just try to push that out of sight for a while and remember. If I pray for them, the Lord can give them victory over that. But I need to love them. Amen? I have some algebra students. I talk about them all the time. I've learned a lot from them this year. Hopefully they've learned something from me. And Lucia can appreciate this. Don't tell them what I said, okay, Lucia? A couple of them drive me crazy because they just won't be quiet and listen. But I still love them. And I know one of these days, because I was that student when I was in junior high and high school as well. I didn't pay attention too well. And I'm glad that people didn't give up on me. I'm glad God didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you?
Amen.
Amen? And so God loves us even when we're not lovable. We can do that for one another. And if you're not willing to do that, you need to get that right. Because that was the thing the Lord said was very critical, that we would love one another that way. I'm not saying that we're compromised with sin. I'm not saying that we're glad for their sin. But I am saying we can love one another. Amen?